You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Going, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters with me, your host Mikey Manfredi, and joining me as per usual it is my co-host Zach Batista. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. It's getting really cold out though in New Jersey though.
I'm loving the cold. It's the best. Oh, it's so nice. It's getting so cold I can wear hoodies again. I can wear my jean jacket with all my buttons on it. Oh, I'm so excited. I can finally show off my glow-in-the-dark Darby Allin button.
I need to see that one of these days.
Oh, it's so sick.
It's so sick.
It's just like Darby Allin's face, but the skeleton half glows in the dark.
Oh, that's cool.
Yo, it's dope as hell.
Love that. Other than that, not a whole lot. A lot of work, just prepping, some hobbies in the background, mainly D&D.
Ooh, D&D is popping off. I had to leave early last session, and I'm a little bummed about it.
Oh, you will be but when like, I tell you after the show what happened after
that. I'm so annoyed that all of my major life events keep happening on the day we play D&D.
It's really unfortunate, and me and the other guys had a discussion about how unfortunate it was that you had to, each session you missed, something related to what your character happened that I was like, damn!
Yeah,
really wish you was
literally, I think I missed, like, I missed, like, 2.5 out of the last, like, 4 sessions or something like that. It's dumb. But hopefully I'll be able to get back on track, and hopefully no more major life events happen on the
D&D. Weddings, birthdays.
Yeah.
Everything's on a Sunday.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. Anyway, we're not here to talk about D&D. We are here to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, baby.
And the indie scene, those indie waters where we go to get treasures every week to bring to you for your pleasure and our review. So, Zach, let's get right into it. Do you remember who started off last week?
I did.
All right, then I will kick us off this week with a match from Beyond Wrestling. I figured recently we did a Beyond Wrestling match with none other than John Silver. So I figured, why don't we get to his partner here, Alex Reynolds. So we have Alex Reynolds taking on someone, I think some would call her pretty legit, taking on legit Layla Hirsch in a one-on-one match at Beyond Wrestling. This match was really good. Ooh. I really liked it a lot. These two had like, it was like a 10-minute match, mm-hmm. but boy, did they kick the hell out of each other.
Oh,
literally,
man.
Like,
love it.
Right in the beginning, Hirsch like trips up Reynolds and like
mm-hmm.
gets all big and like intimidates him. It's really, really great. And then there's a point where she throws him off the ropes, and she, little short Layla Hirsch versus super tall Alex Reynolds, right? Mm-hmm. Layla Hirsch hits Alex Reynolds with a pop-up Samoan drop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. She gets him up and she's like, whoop, bam. And the crowd went nuts.
I'm good. I love me some Layla Hirsch.
Yeah.
He's
great. That made Reynolds roll himself out of the ring. Hirsch goes for a suicide dive, which Reynolds catches her and gives her a Ooh. Big scoop slam right on the outside on the wooden floor.
Mm-hmm.
Which looked rough, bro.
Ooh, sounds rough.
It did. It was bad. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that sounded great on the mic. This match is very back and forth. It's a lot of offense from both people, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's like, because there's no time for them to really like stop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These two just went and went and went for like 10 solid minutes, and it was just good wrestling. There was this one huge sequence that Hirsch did that, like, really, really impressed me. Mm-hmm. She start her, I think Reynolds is, like, picking her up from the ground, and she pops out of it, kicks his knee out, knocks him to all fours, backs up, hits him with a giant just knee to the face that sounded like he just, like, broke every bone in his jaw. And then he backs up into the ropes. She bounces, so he's leaning on the ropes between the two turnbuckles.
Okay.
But Hirsch doesn't bounce off of the ropes behind her. She bounces off of the side ropes and hits him, drive-bys him, right?
Okay.
She does that with an elbow, and she goes off the other side, comes back with a drive-by bicycle kick.
Ooh.
Which turns Alex Reynolds around. She hits him with a German. Mm-hmm. He does, like, the backwards roll, gets on his feet, and then Hirsch just turns him inside out with a lariat.
Ooh. Love me a good meaty lariat.
And then he kicks out.
Oh, my God.
Dude, this sequence was insane. It was buttery. When I say buttery smooth, it was so slick, dude. It was awesome. It went so well. Like, everything just looked like it hit so hard. It looked, every move just flowed into the next so, so well. And it looked amazing.
I mean, that's all you can ask for with wrestling, just buttery smooth.
It was super smooth. But then afterwards, Layla goes for another Irish whip move, to which Reynolds catches her, picks her up, and power bombs her. Goes for the pin. She kicks out. Then he grabs her legs, puts her in a figure four. She's struggling in this figure four, but the crowd starts chanting, "Don't tap out! Don't tap out! Don't tap out!" And then Layla, like, crawls to the bottom rope and gets literally just her middle finger on it to get the rope break. That's literally funny. Just like the tip of her finger gets there, and the ref gets the rope break. It's crazy. And then Reynolds starts setting up for his finisher, but then we get an interference from John Silver.
Oh, really?
Who runs to the apron, jumps on the apron, and Reynolds goes after him. Reynolds goes after him, and he jumps down, and with the distraction, that lets Layla Hirsch hit a big German, and then get up on the top rope and hit her moonsault, and get the 1-2-3 on Alex Reynolds with a little bit of help from John Silver. So Layla Hirsch ends up winning this match against Alex Reynolds. This match was great. I thought these two killed it. Like I said, that one sequence was buttery, buttery smooth.
Mm-hmm.
These two kicked the absolute crap out of each other and just killed it. I really liked it. I'm going to give it a high meh. It didn't break that markout threshold for me, but it was still very good, and I still really liked it. Two awesome competitors. They both were really great in this match. Mm. Alex Reynolds was especially great at just being the asshole in this match.
That's one of the reasons probably why him and Silvers are so good as a tag team.
Yeah.
Obnoxious
Reynolds
assholes.
Did a great job being the asshole. There was one point where, like, he tripped up Layla.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, hit her with a slam that landed her, like, on, like, face down on the floor.
Yeah.
And then he just walks across her back and, like, shows off to the crowd. He was just being such a good ass in this match, and it really helped the match flow a little bit more, you know? And,
gotcha.
It helped me want to root for Layla a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really liked it. High math for me. No complaint. No really big complaints here, except that I wish it was longer.
Fair enough. Those are valid complaints.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, going off of that, my first match for this week was Max the Impaler versus Heidi Katrina from AIWF Wrestling.
Max the Impaler, what a name.
I know. I won't lie. The reason why I picked this match was just because I saw Max's name and her appearance, and I was like, okay, I'm like, even if this match isn't that great, I still want to watch it.
Fair.
So, by the way, before I forget, this match is actually for the AIWF Women's Championship.
Ooh, all right.
And if you haven't seen Max the Impaler, the best way I could describe it for you is it's like something out of Mad Max Fury Road. Her hair is all in a braid. She's got tattoos all over her. It's just, it looks great. I love
the
look.
That's so sick.
And Heidi Katrina's like, she doesn't have as much going on as Max did. Strong scene of the usual. I think she was British, if I recall correctly, and she's done some Joshi stuff, I think. I can't remember exactly. It's been a bit since I've watched this. So straight off the bat, you could tell that Katrina really is very confident in herself. So much so that the wrestling only really starts once her and Max get into like a test of strength. I know. She shoves Max, like one of those like cocky, like puts her hands right to her chest and just like very slowly pushes her away. And Max just walks up and shoves her to the ground. To which then that's when she's like, all right. Then maybe this will be worse than my actual wrestling. So then they start to do a little back and forth. Katrina starts working Max.
I don't know why I found that so funny. Just like, you know what? This might be worth some wrestling. This wrestling match might be worth some wrestling.
Oh, man. So they start to go. It's a bit more chain wrestling with Katrina getting on top, working over Max's arms for a bit before she then hits her with a nice sequence in which she Hurricane Rana's Max, which causes her to fall over into the corner. Max then hits her with a series of running strikes from the corner, which I believe is like a running forearm, a running like just a spear, like a variety of moves until eventually one of them knocks Max where she's now sitting on the ground in the corner, right? Mm-hmm. And then she walks up. And she just kind of slaps Max in the face. Like, just stops her and just slaps her in the face. Which only pisses her off more.
Yeah, I bet.
So, she then gets up. And I believe... if the next thing I've written here is that Katrina then grabbed Max by her hair and kind of yanked it between the top and middle rope. Like, she kind of pulled the hair up by the rope. And the refs kind of like... what the hell are you doing? Like, get her off. She's like, oh, no, it's fine. And then Max doesn't really sell it that much.
Oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's like, she's like, fine. Let's it go. Max doesn't really sell it a lot. And she just kind of starts her offense by throwing her into the corner and then hits her with a series of running splashes before then doing what is kind of like a jumping lariat, where it kind of looks like she's going to spear her, but then she jumps up and just hits her and just... she just knocks her over. Looked awesome. Let's see. Katrina then at this point goes to the outside and does the classic heel where she just kind of walks around and takes a walk around the ring. It is at this point, by the way, the announcers tell me that in this promotion,
you gotta get your energy back.
Wrestlers have till the count of 20 to get back into the ring.
Oh, nice. It's like a New Japan thing.
Yes. So Katrina's out in the ring, out there for a while. I think at one point she walks over to the announcer's desk, steals his water, takes a sip of it. Max gets impatient. Goes to get her back in the ring. She then, like, spits it in her face.
Ooh, never go after a heel with water in their mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Katrina then gets a bit more of offense in where she tries to, like, capitalize on this. But Max then eventually knocks her off, starts beating her down. She then gets her on the floor. And as she's going to hit her in the face, like, with her forearm, she then just takes the water bottle, which is still in her hand. And she just hits her in the head with it. Bam. Don't know why the ref didn't disqualify her for that. But, you know, I was fine with it.
Referee discretion, baby.
So, Max somehow still comes out on top of this, though, and throws Katrina into the ring apron. Okay. But then, as she throws her into it, she slips on the water that was spilled beforehand. She doesn't fall, like, completely, but you could tell that she slipped on it. And I was like, continuity. Well, I'm like, I'm glad you didn't completely fall on that.
Was it like a cell slip, or did she
she legitimately like slipped and caught herself because of the water. Because when she spit at her, she spit towards the ring. So I assume that when she also hit her in the head with the bottle, it just kind of spilled water.
Interesting.
However, she still stayed in control and eventually throws Katrina back into the ring. Katrina then, I have it that she, I think she headbutts her as she gets into the ring and then hits her with a guillotine leg drop once Max gets stunned on the rope. Like, she gets stunned and falls into the middle rope, but she's, like, draped over it. Mm. And then Katrina hits her with a leg drop. She doesn't get a pin from that, though. Mm. Max actually is the first one up here, which I was like, I don't know how you're already the first one up, but okay.
How are you on your feet?
Exactly. The moral of this is, like, Max is kind of like, the best way to describe is the Terminator. And that... She didn't sell as much as I wish, and she got up a lot faster than I thought she would, but still, she was still good. I liked it. The two then start to beat each other down before Max eventually hits Katrina with a Samoan drop, but she still can't put her away. She then goes for her... she then does, like, a war cry and goes for a spear on Katrina, but Katrina sidesteps her and throws her into the post.
Witness me!
Pretty much, yeah. It's not as bad as the Ricky Stark cell from a while ago, which this is an older joke at this point now, but if you ever want to see someone sell a post, getting thrown into the post, do Ricky Starks versus Effie, and you'll see someone almost kill themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But besides the point, Katrina then transitions into a roll-off, which doesn't get the pin, and then as Max gets up, Katrina then hits her with a stunner, followed up into a leg drop combo for the Jesus. Win.
Awesome. This match sounds like it was really good.
I say that, but like, there was really nothing that was special in terms of this match or the wrestling, and there was never really a point in this match where I really felt into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for this reason that I gotta give it a miss out. It's a shame because, like, I wanted this match to be better, and it just, I didn't get what I want. I didn't really get anything from it that I was like, mm-hmm. oh. Like, I would recommend someone watch it, and, like, you'd have a good, like, I'd have a bad time. I didn't have as good of a time as I was hoping I would, I guess.
That's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
But, you know, these things happen.
Exactly. It's what are you going to do?
We're here to give honest reviews.
Yep.
But I'm sure both of these wrestlers have had amazing matches. Awesome
of course.
Matches somewhere else. But we just, listen, we're here to give honest reviews.
Mm-hmm.
These are, but we respect everybody who's
of course.
In these matches, obviously. No harm here. Exactly. Now.
You've got me excited for this because you didn't tell me what this was, but you said this was going to be good. So I'm rubbing my hands together. You can't hear it. I don't know.
Let's get into this match. My second match of the day is a match from World Series Wrestling.
Okay. That's new for me.
We have a returning on the show, Robbie Eagles. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we had Robbie Eagles versus Marcius Pitt. Which was
yes.
a great match.
The match where I, for some reason, gave it a meh, and then as I was describing it, I was like, why did I give this grade? And I,
as you were describing it, you were marking out.
And I was like, I don't understand what happened.
So we had Robbie Eagles versus Marcius Pitt, which was an amazing match.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to dip back into the Robbie Eagles well, and we have Robbie Eagles taking on Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, Zack Sabre Jr., love Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, he seems like it's such your type of wrestling.
Oh yeah,
Zack Sabre Jr. For me, I'm surprised I like this match as much as I did, because for me, Zack Sabre Jr. is the exact thing of wrestling that I don't like watching.
Technical,
like a lot of technical, a lot of groundwork, a lot mm-hmm. of a lot of submission holds. So it's like the part of wrestling I don't like is as like I don't like that much.
Exactly.
However,
yes.
This match was awesome.
Nice.
These two absolutely gave it to each other. They went in. This match was 15 minutes. This match was, I think, like 15 or 16 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, howdy, did it feel like a half-hour banger.
Damn.
These two kicked the shit out of each other, man. Lots of groundwork, of course, but, you know, what else can you expect from a ZSJ match?
Of course.
He's going to do a lot of groundwork, a lot of submissions, a lot of technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's some – but Robbie Eagles gives it right back to him, hits him with some great reversals, get a lot of cool escapes from his submission holds. And they're really – they're like – you could tell they're, like, very evenly matched, these two, it feels like.
I like it.
It's so crazy too, because Robbie Eagles is playing the underdog here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It very much, there's no commentary, but you can definitely feel like the vibe
okay.
of like Robbie Eagles playing like the scrappy underdog. But it really felt like these two were just like on an even playing field, because a lot of things Zach did, Robbie had a counter for.
Oh, okay.
It looks like he did his homework, you know?
Love when wrestlers do that.
Yeah. This match played to both of their strengths so mm-hmm. well. It really showed off how good of a technical wrestler and how good of a submission artist Zack Sabre Jr. is.
Mm.
And also, it showed how much of just a speed demon Robbie Eagles is.
Oh, yeah.
I know, maybe halfway into this match, I realized that this is a match of two people with very unique wrestling styles going at each other.
Oh yeah.
So it leads to some super unique moments and super cool reversals and super cool just transitions from spot to spot, stuff like that.
That's what we like to hear.
There was this one really sick spot that I loved so much.
Ooh,
it was Eagles throw like Irish whips Zack Sabre Jr. into the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Zack comes back, he does the drop down, Zack bounces back. As he's doing the leapfrog,
yeah,
Sabre Jr. slides under Robbie Eagles' leapfrog, and while Robbie is still in midair, Zack Sabre Jr. picks his leg out, knocks him to the ground, and gets him in a leg lock.
Ooh.
It was wild, dude.
Love that.
Literally, all while he's in the air, Zack Sabre Jr. I'm just going to call him ZSJ from now on. It's way easier.
Mm-hmm.
ZSJ slides under Robbie Eagles and picks his legs out and just takes him out right out of the sky.
Love it.
And gets him right into a submission hold working on his legs, which is so... It's such a good, little story bit, because it's like, you see this guy flying, and what does he do? Right after the legs.
Immediately.
It really sells the fact that that ZSJ is smart about where he attacks.
Oh, yeah.
There was an insane transition with this later, where ZSJ has Eagles in, an ankle lock.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Eagles is, trying to get up, you know how, they crawl when they're in an ankle lock to get to the ropes?
Yeah.
ZSJ notices him crawling to the ropes, and then he just has his ankle still, but then he grabs him and picks him up while his ankle is still, in his hand and hits him with a German.
I'm sorry. Where do you think you're going?
And he's like, where are you going? Nope. And just throws him. I was like, oh my God.
This match sounds awesome.
It is. This match was so cool. It was just so sick to watch both of their movesets just collide like this, because they both have such unique styles and they're so vastly different that these two clashing just made for one of the most bonkers matches I've ever seen. All right, so there's this one sequence in this match. Trust me, when you get to it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's around the 14 and a half minute mark.
Okay.
These two do one of the craziest sequences I've ever seen. I literally can't even, I cannot audibly describe this to you. You have to watch it.
Keep that in mind.
It's one of those things, listeners, I'm so sorry, but there is no way for me to accurately describe what is happening in this ring without sounding like a complete idiot. So, if you want to go see this sequence, go watch this match. It's around, the 14 and 35-ish mark, I think, it starts. Or 14:30, somewhere around there. But it's nutty. These two just... It's insane. It's what these two do in this ring is crazy to me. But the good match does have to come to an end. So...
Unfortunately.
In the end, Zack Sabre Jr. does end up winning this match via submission. He gets Eagles into one of his signature moves. I don't remember what it's called. It almost looked like the remember the AJ Lee used to do the Black Widow?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like that. I don't know what that's actually called, because I always call it the Black Widow, but I know it's something different.
I got what you're talking about.
Yeah. But he gets Eagles in one of those and takes him to the ground, and Eagles ends up tapping out to it, and that's how the match ends. But oh boy. This match was
a match.
Wild ride, dude. I loved it. I was so into it. These two put everything on the table. It's an easy mark out for me.
Mm, that's good. Oof.
Easy.
Oh,
it's a mark out, and it's not remotely close.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah.
Not even contested at all.
No,
just
there's no for me at least. I don't know how you're. Okay, spoiler alert, you're watching this for the double down. Yes.
I'm glad to hear it.
But, spoiler alert, but to me, after I get your opinion, your opinions obviously could be very different, which, hey, everybody has their own opinions. But for me, this match was absolutely, undisputedly a markout. No competition. There was no, as soon as this match ended, that feeling was there. You know, that feeling when you just watched a markout match? I had that feeling, so as soon as it ended, I was like, mark out, done. I called it immediately. There was no thought.
Just like you could, there was a button that said mark out, you just were tapping it just repeatedly, check the mark out.
that was definitely an awesome, awesome match. Go check that out from World Series Wrestling, Robbie Eagles versus Zack Sabre Jr. Free on YouTube. This is a pay-per-view level match, and it's just free on YouTube. Go watch it. All right. Well, Zach, what is your next match you brought to the table, buddy?
All right, here. Let me see. Going through my notes for a split second. Ah, yes. The last match I have for this week is Stefan Bonner versus Logan Dreams at Black Label Pro.
Ooh, Black Label Pro. We know that.
Specifically picked this because Black Label Pro, if you haven't listened to, I always bring up the collective because I had such a good time, and I saw so many good independent wrestlers there. They were the show that all of us agreed put on an amazing show considering how cursed their goddamn show was.
Yeah, what was it? 8 wrestlers backed out of the show, and they still put on an amazing show. Like, it was sick. It was awesome. We saw, Leila Hirsch, Jax Alexander. We saw a Fatal 4-Way with Jake Ethan Page. It was just so good that whole pay-per-view was sick. That event ruled.
Oh yeah. So match starts off with Logan James, who is being a cocky heel here, saying he's going to knock his opponent out, and that when he does, he wants the crowd to chant his name.
Oof.
And I didn't know who Stefan Bonner was before this match.
Okay.
Only for them for the announcers to kindly tell me that Bonner is, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, is a UFC Hall of Famer.
Oh, really?
And as I looked it up, he got into independent pro wrestling in, I believe it was 2017, it might have been 2019, one of those. He got into independent wrestling.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I see. I'm like, he's saying he's going to knock out the UFC, the cage fighter. I'm like, okay.
Makes sense.
I'm like, I'm down to see where this goes. So the match starts off, and James is just being a chicken shit heel, taunting him, running away, taking cheap shots at him whenever he can, using the ref.
Yeah, of course.
The whole 9 yards. Let's see. Bonner then starts to dominate him for a bit. He even does the bit where when he knocks him to the ground, as the ref's counting, he lifts his head up and does like that. No, 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 no.
No, no, we're not losing that
easily. He's like, you're going to talk shit. You're going to get hit.
Yeah, I like it. I like that coming from the face.
And eventually... So, the thing is, James the whole time keeps doing these shenanigans of, like, you know, whenever he gets Bonner in, like, a submission, like, he, like, if he gets him in a submission, he goes for the ropes. If he's in the ropes, like, if he has him in a hold, he, like, rakes his eyes, just all that. Mm-hmm. And eventually, Bonner gets fed up with the ref, allowing him to keep his shenanigans, because James is, you know, basically doing his shenanigan heel stick on him, right? Mm-hmm. And it was with this moment that he's able to retake control with a double stomp to his chest, actually.
Oof.
And then there's this amusing segment where as James in control, he tries to chop Bonner, right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead hurts himself, and Bonner doesn't even sell it, and he just looks at him like, what the fuck are
you
doing?
I love that. Like, iron
And he,
chest.
Like, hits him. He hits him harder. It hurts his hand again. He's like, ah.
It's like in a movie where, like, it's like in, like, one of those, like one of, like, the robot movies where, like, the idiot, like, tries to, like, punch a robot. And it's like, ah.
Exactly. Oh, man. So then Bonner eventually, I believe he then chops him, and of course, it hurts a ton. He gets the upper hand then with a lariat. But again, like before, he isn't satisfied with just pinning him like that because, no. You're just the whole match now. Now at this point, you become obnoxious that he's just going to hurt him now. So he puts James in a guillotine.
Yikes.
But I'm just remembering now the spot as I'm reading it. So James is able to counter, not by technical wrestling. No, he just picks Bonner up. And then dumps both of them out of the outside through the middle rope, still holding him. So the two of them just, like, both tumble out of the ring.
Okay.
Looked very scary.
Yeah,
scary. It looked, like, rough. And I was like, okay, they're fine. Then comes the spot that looked like... I'll describe it for you, all right? James does 2 suicide dives on Bonner because he wants to keep up the offense after he's just stopped Bonner from dominating him this whole match, right?
Fair.
He then runs to the rope, and he flips over the top rope the third time. Except Bonner didn't catch him, so he just lands back first onto the outside. I visibly cringed at this because I got flashbacks to when Kofi Kingston did something similar to this at one of their Saudi Arabia shows, and I had the same reaction of, oh God, I hope he's okay. He was, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Thank goodness.
So... eventually, he's like, so James is reasonably hurt by this, and he's crawling around the outside. Bonner, I think, is like beating him up, and he gets him onto the rope, right? No, on the rope. He gets him up by the turnbuckle, so he's got his back to the pole. Mm. And Bonner goes to actually super kick him, but he gets out of the way, so he super kicks the pole.
Oh.
So as he's holding his foot, like, ow, fuck. James just kind of shoves him into the crowd and tries to go for a countout victory because,
you
fuck
know,
it. Can't knock him out.
Win by any means necessary.
Exactly. So then Bonner eventually crawls himself back to the ring and he double stomps him on the on his back as well, and he tries to pin him off that, but it doesn't work either.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Bonner on his knees, James then loudly announces, "I'm going to knock you out now."
Here we go. I'm going to do it.
He then forearms him twice in the face, two really heavy shots. And to counter this, what happens is James is getting two shots and then decides, all right, I'm going to do a running forearm, I'm pretty sure. And as he runs,
get a running start.
Bonner turns around and does a spinning heel kick to the back of his neck as he runs at
him.
And then hits him with a massive powerbomb followed by an elbow off the top rope for the win.
Nice. I like the MMA. Overall, I like the old school, the old MMA fighter getting away with an elbow drop off the top rope.
Yes.
Such not a thing. Like,
After the match, he was like flexing to the crowd. He was like, yeah. I think he had like a promo after the crowd, said how much he was very appreciative of people being there and how much he loved this type of wrestling, how fun it is, and how he wants to really keep improving.
Mm-hmm.
It was really wholesome. And the best I can describe this match is that both guys really tried their best in this match. And like, I won't lie,
both guys tried their best. When you say both guys tried their best, it makes it sound like the match wasn't good, and it was just like, both guys did their best. You gotta give them an A for effort.
I am only saying that because there in this match, the wrestling was a bit clunky at times, and the two didn't have as much chemistry as I would have liked. There was like a bunch of like spots where I was like, alright, that didn't work as well as I thought.
You mean like where he didn't get caught and just fell?
That too, yes. And that kind of like took away a little bit of my enjoyment of this match, just a little bit.
Fair.
James took a lot of punishment, if you can't tell from this match, and I have to give him props for it because it made Bonner look like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
He looked so strong in this. Loved it.
Nice.
Props to Bonner as well because, damn, he did. Like I said, he did the best he could in the ring, which is all I can ask for. Both of them did.
They did their best.
So for this match, I'm going to give it a meh.
Okay.
It's a good match. Not bad at all. And I honestly would like to see more of these two in the future. Just like I said, it was a bit clunky, and for my taste, it was a bit one-sided. Like, James didn't get a ton of offense in, and Bonner got a lot in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
Can't always be equally matched.
Fair enough.
And it also makes sense that the chicken shit heel gets his ass handed to him by a UFC Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. Definitely makes perfect sense.
Wrestling, where logic totally applies all the time.
Totally, 100%, every time. It never doesn't.
Never goofy at all.
Always makes perfect sense, never goofy, not even a little bit. Anyway. let's get into the match we both watched this week. We took a look at a match from AAW Pro Wrestling. We got ACH taking on Fred Yehi.
Yes, this match was recommended to us by Ryan from the Hit the Books podcast.
Yeah,
watch that.
Yeah, awesome. Ryan from Hit the Books. Go check that out every Friday here on the Countout Network.
He said this match was amazing. So
yeah,
I have like a mix. If any of you that have listened,
he said, "quote It's a must see match."
Yes, and I have a mixed taste in wrestling. Where I'm like a half of what Mikey here has, which is I like my goofy wrestling, but I also love my hard hitting stuff. So I was like, oh boy, I'm like, this is gonna be a big. It's going to be good.
We discussed this at the collective. I don't know if we discussed it on the podcast, but you are like the perfect middle of me and Ryan in terms of what you like in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of crazy how well it works out because Ryan is very much on like the technical. He likes technical wrestling. He likes the groundwork. He likes the submissions, the reversals. He likes when guys get nitty gritty down and dirty. And just try to tap each other out. Me, on the other hand, I am 100% a spot monkey. I love the moments. I love the big spots. I love the OMG moments. I love a good story. I love a lot of comedy. I'm very big on comedy wrestling. I love comedy. I love comedy matches. I love laughing. That's
definitely one thing.
I love when a match makes me laugh. I think it's one of the best things in the world when a match makes me laugh. But yeah. So me and Ryan are like polar opposites in terms of what we like when it comes to wrestling. And Zach is very good, is a very, sorry, there's a fly. And Zach is a very good in between of me and Ryan. Zach, you know what? You can talk for yourself.
Of course. I love my big, if you've listened to more than one episode of this, you know that I love me some meaty ass wrestling, like striking, just technical ass match. I love it. I can't get enough of it. But for me, I also like when wrestling leans into its goofy side of it, its entertainment side of it. I love when, like, you can very much tell that they're really leaning into it, having a good time, and it's just a fun time all around. I can't, like, for example here, Jervis is a wrestler that I did not know about, and I love how much he leans into his gimmick of being the nicest man in the world.
Commitment,
I love matches like...
commitment is important.
Commitment is very important. I just, like, I like a bit of both. I love my meaty wrestling, but I also like my fun, my funny matches, too, and, like, I don't mind when stuff is, like, spot heavy or, like, gimmick heavy. I don't mind it too much.
Yeah.
It's good. I enjoy myself.
All right, so let's talk about, what did you think of this match?
I
take it on Fred Yehi.
This match.
This match was very good. These two, both of these two, when I say they brought it, they brought it. This match was very, very good. There was lots of technical wrestling. There was lots of big sequences in this match.
But there was also a story told here too, which I also really liked.
Yes. You wanna go into that real quick?
Yeah. Okay. So this was ACH's return match to AAW since leaving for WWE, and this is his first match. And Yehi, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, I think I think the commentators saying Yehi.
Yeah. So Yehi wanted to just stop ACH's momentum right in his tracks in this match. And you could tell right from the get-go, this man had no love, no respect, just pure hatred and disrespect for ACH entirely. Mm-hmm. Which really helps, because ACH is like this likable guy that you want to see win, and Yehi is just being a complete asshole to him whenever he can. Mm-hmm. And it's great. So, like, here's just an example. So ACH puts out a hand to Yehi. Yehi denies it. Puts it out a second time. Yehi denied it. But this time he pretends he's going to shake it, only for him to try to turn it into an armbar on him. It's just like, oh, okay, we're just going to try to break the man's arm off of a handshake. Okay, see where we're going here. This is what I like. Like this.
I like this.
I like this. I like this hatred you show, because, like, it does the natural thing.
It's going great already.
I want to see the face win now. I already want to see the face win and beat you. So, like, a lot of this match is chain wrestling.
Yes.
Like, the beginning is, like, a bit of chain wrestling with ACH being on top and Yehi being unable to get out. Which is like a common
thing. As we just said, not my favorite.
Yes, exactly. And like, Yehi has to like claw at ACH's eyes, or he has to use the ropes to like get an opportunity to then actually hurt ACH. And the first offense he gets in is this chop on ACH that is just thunderous. Like,
oh,
this shit
God,
had
yeah.
an echo when he hit ACH's chest. I was like,
that was, sorry, real quick flashback to what we just talked about with Robbie Eagles versus ZSJ. They also had some wild chops in that match.
I love me a good chop.
Bro,
big,
felt
meaty chop.
Yo, you got, when you watch that match, they like cave each other's chests in, buddy. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Sorry
to interrupt again, go ahead.
Okay. So, similar to them before, ACH kind of receives the favor, because Yehi gets the advantage off of the chop and gets him an ACH in a headlock again. But this time ACH is actually able to do the same thing, where he gets off the ground. And Yehi goes to the ropes again. But ACH actually gets a payback this time by delivering his own chop, which I liked, because it showed like how both of the guys needed to get the rope, how Yehi kept relying on the ropes, but this time ACH was smart and got his payback by being like, no, 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 you're not going to just use the ropes again. I'll just chop you in the chest this time. Love that. Like, I just love how, like, you could tell that, like, these two guys really thought this match out.
Yeah.
Like, every time, like, ACH is doing, like, honorable like wrestling, like he's like doing like just normal pins, normal stuff, whereas Yehi keeps grabbing at his ears, grabbing at his face, just doing every nasty disrespectful thing he could do to him to get the upper hand. He does.
Yes.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Then we get to the part for me, sorry for cutting you off, sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just gonna say Yehi also had a very, like we were talking about unique movesets earlier, I think Yehi had a very unique moveset, a lot of new moves I've never seen before. And these two both, when I say kick the crap out of each other, I mean literally kick the crap out of each other.
Oh,
These two both have very educated feet.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of educated feet, the part of the match that really got me into it was ACH, after Yeah, I got started to take control again. He finally got some offense in where he did some meaty strikes, which I only described as meaty strikes because there was a lot.
Yeah.
Followed by a springboard backflip into a drop kick, followed up by a punt kick on the outside of from the apron.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, oh, baby, we're in for a fucking match this time if we're breaking that out, and we're only like 5 minutes into this match.
We're in for a ride, baby.
Damn straight. There was actually a really cool spot I actually want to say when they, because the two of them go to the outside of this match where, like, ACH has his face against the steel barricade. And Yehai uses the apron and his height to actually grind ACH's face into there. Before then delivering a stomp from the apron onto ACH's arm. He starts working his arm in this match. Yeah. And I was like, that was really creative. And I actually...
That spot made me cringe. That's why I'm bringing up the unique moveset. Like, the thing, like things mm-hmm. I haven't seen before, you know? Like that.
Exactly.
It was definitely very cool.
I also loved here where, like, Yehai then starts doing, like, really cheap tactics just to punish ACH. Like, just, like, grabbing at his eyes. Like, and it's on the outside, so the ref can't do anything to stop him besides count him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's smart. I'm like, I like that. And then I, again, ACH gets on the apron, like, right after this. And then Yehai grabs his ears, but ACH actually hangs him up on the top rope. And you think to yourself, oh, yeah, he's going to get it. No, Yehai just... bounces back immediately and just drop kicks him through the middle and bottom rope into the barricade. And I was like, that was so smooth. That's unfair. You can't do that smooth.
You can't stop being so smooth. Stop it.
Which I have to say, every single bit of wrestling in this match was smooth.
Yeah, this match was silk.
Loved
silky
it.
Smooth match. This match was great. These two look like they've. The chemistry these two had, it looked like they've been wrestling each other for like 20 years.
Oh yeah,
it was like, very good.
I can't even I gotta give it to Yehai again. Like literally, like the next part of this match is a lot where Yehai starts to grind ACH down with a lot of holds, submissions, like a scissor. Like I think it's like he's using both his legs to crush it. Is like chest transitioning down to an armbar, and like the whole time if you watch, you can just see Yehai has this grin on his face that he's just having so much fun. Tearing apart ACH. While ACH is just not having a good time.
No. One of my favorite parts of the match was towards the end. Where they just all of a sudden just like it went from a wrestling match to like a boxing match.
Yeah.
It was one of those awesome hockey fight moments that I love.
So good.
But then Yehai pulled the Mike Tyson
on
ACH and started biting his ear.
Oh, my God, yeah. So, if we're going to go to that, I have to say, basically, how this led up to was the two of them knocked each other down to the ground. Like, they literally had to grab each other to get up, because the two of them were running on fumes at this point. And they just started having the classic hockey fight, like Mike, you said.
I love it when they do that. That's one of my favorite things. I say it every time, but the hockey fight's one of my favorites. It's just when they just start punching the shit out of each other. And I was like, there's, like, no more moves left to do, and it's like, all right, fine. Put up your dukes.
Exactly. And, like, yeah. So, it's another cool detail. Again, I love these two's wrestling, but Yehai just brought so much for me. He's like, the two of them are fighting. And he actually put his arms up to block ACH's strikes. So, I was like, holy shit. I'm like, he actually thought
that
through.
That was very cool. That's what made it feel... That's why I said boxing match instead of hockey fight. Because the way he was, covering the punches and, like, blocking his head, it looked like a boxer, like blocking punches.
Yep.
Which I thought was really neat.
So as Mikey said, after eventually Yehai bites ACH's ear, so the ref goes to check on him. And ACH is kind of like, get off me, I got this. Only for Yehai to flatline him and then put him in his finisher, which is a Koji clutch.
Yeah.
Which looks nasty. I forgot what a Koji clutch looked like until he did that. I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. And then I love how as he's holding him in it, he just starts stomping on his face repeatedly until he finally
was it
taps
stomping
out.
Or was he just hitting elbows on him? It was something
I
like
can't
that.
Remember
what I think he was hitting him with a bunch, he was just elbowing him.
Yeah, he was elbowing him in the face until he finally tapped out. And I was actually surprised, so I thought ACH was gonna win. His commentary was bigging up how this was his big return. Eddie fucking lost.
Yeah, I think Yehai winning here was great.
It was
ACH coming back, being this big, big, huge name versus Fred Yehai, a guy I have never heard of before.
Same.
Seeing Fred Yehai get the win over ACH in this match really made me be like, oh dang, who's this kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it gave you, I think it was perfect. I think it was a perfect show for both of them. Yehi gets a big win. ACH looks like a champ because he also did amazing in this match.
Exactly. And I also love how it also is a story of, like, how Yehi really wanted this win. Like, he literally pulled out every dirty trick in the book mm-hmm. he could to win. And that ambition got him the win. Like, ACH played by the rules the whole match. There's not a single point when he, like, gray area'd it. There was even a point where Yehi was actually on his knees begging for him to stop, and ACH did the little, like, the no.
Not today.
Like, and I love that because I hate when faces think, oh, they're going to change, only for them to get their ass kicked immediately afterwards. It's like, bruh.
Oh, no, are you okay? Are you injured? Oh, no, I've got rolled up.
It's like, bruh.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
I like that he didn't fall into the trap, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It had an unexpected finish. Like I said, I can't give how much. These guys thought this match was so well wrestled. So smartly booked. Great story. I fucking give this match a mark out.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. When Ryan said it was a must see, he was not lying. This match is a must see. Definitely a mark out. These two kick the crap out of each other. These two put it all out there, and it's a mark out match. It's so, so good. Go check it out when you can. ACH versus Fred Yehi from AAW Pro. Free on YouTube, just like all of our matches. So go check it out when you can.
Whew.
All right. Well, Zach, we reviewed our five matches this week, which brings us to the double down.
We take a look
at some matches from last week through the perspective of each other. I'm watching one of Zach's matches that he watched last week, and Zach is watching one of my matches from last week.
Yes,
Zach, who started in the double down last week?
I want to say, let me see which match you gave me it on though. I believe it was you that started first.
All right, so why don't you kick us off on this double down?
All right, hopefully I remember this next week that I started this off. You gave me Candy Floss versus TK Cooper.
Yes, from Riptide Wrestling.
Yes, and if I recall, you gave this match a high meh or a mark out. I don't remember which one, but you were very high on this match.
Yes, I like this match a lot.
So I'll say right off the bat, Candy's technical prowess of this match was, you were not kidding when you bigged up her technicality. This match, she was great.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome.
I love that. Side note, I loved how TK's promo factored into the match of him being like, you're pigeonholing me as power, but I am one of the most athletic people in Riptide. And it actually played into how later in the match, he was like, bitch, let me throw some flippy shit at you and show you that I'm not just power.
Bitch, here comes the lucha.
Exactly, and I loved that played off of it. I'm not going to go as far into this match, but I will say some spots that I really liked was Candy's off the top rope backstabber looked awesome as hell.
Yeah.
Loved it. It was nice to see something that I would have a creator wrestler doing a wrestling game do in real life feasibly. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the match really picked up, in my opinion, once TK, as I said, started doing his flippy shit. Specifically, the corkscrew flip on her while she was on the ropes, which he had no right to be able to do as fast as he did.
From the second rope, right?
Bullshit. Then like he does a shooting star.
The way he did that was so quick and so smooth and so just, like, lackadaisical. Like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I just did that.
Exactly.
Like, he made it look so easy.
He casually gets backflipped, which Candy counters, and then he's like, you know what? Fuck you. Shooting star afterwards. And I was like, what? I was like, okay.
Yeah. It gets wild.
I loved the Spanish fly off the top, and it definitely warranted the three slow-mo shots that it got as the result.
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that. I forgot about the replays.
Yep. The kick out also caught me by surprise because I forgot what the match's finish was for a hot second. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And I also really, really enjoyed how Candy kicked out of the crunchy that TK did at her. At one,
yeah,
like the kick out at one, because that also popped. Because I was like, oh,
dude, that popped the crowd too. That popped me. That was so
damn awesome. I was like, all right. And then I really liked that TK then won the match by the headbutt into the brainbuster, just because it was just executed well. Like the headbutt looked disgusting.
Yeah,
and then he just dropped her on her head, and I was like, fair finish.
Yeah. Yeah, getting dropped on your head is gonna lose you a lot of matches.
Probably.
Dropping someone on their head is a good way to finish a match, usually.
I think for this match, I'm going to give it a high meh.
A high meh. Okay.
Just because, if I recall correctly, because I have it written down here as a meh, the match doesn't get as quickly started as I was hoping it would. Like, it takes a bit to get into it. Mm-hmm. And, like, once the flippy stuff happens, like, it really gets into it. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, we got some shit in here that I'm ready to go. And that's, I think that's why it gets the high. Because, like, it's kind of similar to your thing. Like, once TK started doing, like, his high-flying shit, the match kind of kicks in to another drive. And I was like, all right.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, fuck. I'm like, I'm in for this. But, like, it didn't give me that, the, like we say on here, that wow feeling afterwards of, like, a mark out of, like,
yeah,
oh,
like,
shit.
That, like, stunned, like, whoa.
Didn't give me that, unfortunately. But still, really good wrestling by Candy and TK. I was very much a fan of both of their work in this match.
Yeah. I love this match. I thought it was just very good.
Good. Good-ass match.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. Now, what did I give you?
You gave me Ace Romero versus AR Fox at a Fans Bring the Weapons match.
This fucking
from
match.
I think it was from Limitless Wrestling, if I remember
correctly.
Correct.
I have it written down.
My first note for this match, literally written down, just says "these weapons rule."
Yes.
It's like there was a pineapple, like a tennis racket. There was a box fan, like
a bottle of water from like an office from an office building.
Yeah, it was just such good. It was just so funny to see what people brought with them to this
exactly
to this match. This match starts off. It's hard hitting. It's just a hardcore. It ends up turning into like very deathmatch territory. Like,
yeah,
like
it does.
AR Fox looks like he almost got busted open the hard way, like early when he got just slammed with that box fan.
Yeah,
bro, that was the first spot in this match that made me just go like, ooh.
Yeah,
when Ace Romero just like took the box fan and went whap.
Oh,
right over
yeah, shit.
Ace, right over AR Fox's head. Jesus.
I think for me it was when Ace Romero threw the chair at his face and he fell into the glass and I was like, oh, it's like, no!
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Or the swanton he did to Ace on the chairs. With the two chairs stacked on top of him.
I will say it once, I'll say it again. That man, swanton, defies
He went across like
form.
The entire ring!
It defies the laws of nature.
Fox just went... Oh, yeah, gravity, that's cool. Anyway, turn that off for a second so I can just jump on this man.
Exactly.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, that was wild. And then one of my favorite like low-key moments in this match was when they were hitting each other with the serving trays over the dome. And then Ace grabs a kendo stick, and then Fox tries to block the kendo stick with the serving tray and just gets knocked out by both of them and hitting him at once.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's when you see the bloods on the kendo stick wherever they hit each other because the two of them are bleeding so much at this point. It's like, bloody kendo stick! Yay!
Yeah, bloody kendo stick. Fox, like you said, Fox getting the chairs just winged at his head. Like, just like he's trying to go for some high-flying move, but he's just like, nope!
Yep, like,
I said,
Romero tries to like brain him. He dies like, haha, I was smart. And then he just chucks it at
I like how in wrestling nobody does chair shots to the head anymore, but they're super cool with just throwing it at somebody's head.
Exactly. It's like, you, that is a dangerous game you are playing there, my friend.
The belly to belly from Ace from AR Fox onto the folded out chair was really good.
Mm-hmm.
When Ace goes under the ring to like, or goes outside of the ring to start grabbing weapons from around, and he grabs a Crown Royal bag, and you think it's going to be something super intense, like it's going to be like tax or like something scary, and then he pours it out, and it's just a bunch of gummy bears.
I literally love how his expression is the same as everyone watching it, like, the fuck?
Yeah, he poured
what
it.
Is this?
He was like so excited, like it was going to be like tax or something, and he just pours it out, and he's like, what the fuck? Like, he's like, what? Who brought. Why is there? All right, and he just like goes with it.
All right, gonna fucking just pour those out.
And then he grabs a box
just goes
of Legos.
And he's like, all right,
dumps
like,
that out too, right on top of the gummy bears. And then he grabs the bottle caps, dumps those out. I feel like the bottle caps low key probably hurt a lot, right?
Oh, I was actually thinking that when I watched it. I was like, I feel like that'll hurt the worst, even though the Legos. Suck.
I don't know,
like,
man. Legos though.
Legos are terrible, but like bottle caps are sharp too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the bottle caps have like those sharp edges in there. Like you can like those can mess you up, dude. Like I'm like that probably sucked.
And yet they both decide they wanted to just fall into it.
Yeah. And then Ace was like getting on the top rope for something, and like Fox fought him off, and he grabbed like a comically large hammer.
Yeah.
It looked like he grabbed it looked like a hammer someone made for like a cosplay or something. Like it was so big.
Yeah.
For like no reason. He's just like bonk.
Oh, when he hits it too, it's like a plastic sound.
If you're a comic book fan, it looks like that hammer Harley Quinn has, like with like the big end on it.
Oh yeah.
And literally like when he hit him, the only thing I think of was just like bonk. That was just like it was like really intense, and these two were like killing each other, falling into broken glass, and then that one moment made me just completely so funny just out of nowhere, and it got me so good. I remember I had to pause the match because I was just like laughing so hard just to see this giant like rubber hammer come out of nowhere and just donk him on the head. It was just so funny to me.
So ridiculous because they're this like glass.
Yeah,
in the ring.
That's what I'm saying. It's been such like a hardcore intense match up to this point, but then it's just like bonk. Anyway, back to some more crazy spots of this match. Ace doing the cannonball, and then Fox moving out of the way through the light tubes.
That was wild.
Yeah. And then the finishing spot with the light tubes on the table off the top rope, and Ace getting the pin on AR Fox, the 1-2-3, and winning the match. This match was awesome. It was just fun. Like I said, it was like that super was hardcore and super like intense, and then that one hammer spot just broke me. I like this match. I gave it a mark out. I really liked it. I had a good time watching it.
I had a feeling that you would also like it.
Yeah, I had a really great time watching it. It was super fun. These two absolutely just beat each other with literally everything they could have beat each other with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome.
Good match.
Yeah, very good match. Well, that about brings us to the end of this episode of Independent Waters. Now that we finished all of our matches, we finished the Double Down. That just leaves us with all of the plugs at the end. Remember to go subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe so you can download episodes and listen to us all the time. And go leave a review on iTunes, 6 stars or more, five or 6 stars, please.
It always helps a growing podcast.
Always helps a growing podcast. Those 5-star reviews really help bump us to the top, get more eyes on us, and we can get bigger and better. It would be awesome if you guys did that. We would really, really appreciate it. We love that you're listening. So go do that. And go check out Hit the Books every Friday here on the Count Out Wrestling Network, where me and Ryan Knightsey book our own version of SmackDown and Raw. We just started a brand new season with brand new rosters. So go check that out every Friday wherever you can get your podcasts. And go check out our YouTube channel, Count Out Podcasts, where we upload video versions of all the podcasts. And we have a little helpful guide for the draft for Hit the Books. And we have Mizak and Ryan's trip to the Collective vlogged on there. And we have some commentary stuff from 2K Games. So whatever you like, it's probably over on our YouTube channel. So go check that out. Go subscribe there as well. And if you want to learn any more about all the podcasts on the Count Out Wrestling Network, go check out countoutpod.com, where you can find everything that has to do with the podcast we host here on the show, and a little bit about do with us. And, you know, we have written history of Hit the Books and blah, blah, blah. There's everything you could ever want to know about our podcast is on that website. So go check that out. And don't forget every other Monday, go check out Ryan Knightsey's show, G1 and Only, where he reviews where he talks about wrestlers who only competed in the G1 Supercard one singular time and one time only. And a big boy episode just came out, as he likes to call it, with 6 different wrestlers, I believe. Yes. So go
might be 8
6 or 8 right 8 Either way, it's a lot. Go check that
big
out.
Big boy episode.
Yeah, big boy episode. Go check that out. He's very proud of it. It's a very awesome podcast. He put a lot of work into it. You could tell his heart is all in that podcast. So go check that out. Give him some love over there. Yeah, and go follow us on Twitter at CountOutPod, where you can just see our thoughts on wrestling and the world in general every day. We like to tweet, interact with fans. So go check us out over there. Hit us up. You know, just go hang out and go. Yeah, you know, just chill over on Twitter. And I believe that brings us to the end of the plug. Zach, you got anything, bud?
Still nothing.
Still nothing from Zach, but we'll get him one day. Well, we came back with a whole new handful of matches for you to watch from the independent sea. And always remember, there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Countout Podcast.